Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Gimel. This perek completes the discussion of how Beit Din would establish the start of each month, and it consists of three parts. The first part, through Halacha Zayin, is about certain aspects of the Kiddush HaChodesh procedure which supplement the essential details presented in the last perek. This part itself can be divided into three subtopics, as we'll explain soon. The second part of the perek, Halachot Chet through Yudalid, is about how Beit Din would spread the word throughout Jewish communities about which day was determined to be Rosh Chodesh. Recall from Perek Aleph that part of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, aside from the determination of Rosh Chodesh itself, is to publicize this conclusion among the Jewish people. The third and final part of the perek is about the possibility of retroactively accepting the testimony of Edim who arrived after the end of day 30. Halacha Aleph. Edim shera'u et ha'chodesh, im haya benihen uvein makom shiyesh bo beitin ma'alach laila v'yom o pachot, holchinu me'idin, v'im haya benihen yater alkein lo yelchu, she'ein edutan achar yom shloshim mo'elet, shekvar nitaber ha'chodesh. Our perek begins with three supplemental points about the procedure of Kiddush HaChodesh, and the first of these is when Edim should and should not make the trip to Beit Din. This halacha says that once Edim see the new moon in the evening, they should travel to Beit Din only if they can arrive within a day, before day 30 ends. We saw at the end of the last perek that after nightfall, Beit Din can no longer announce Mikudash to make day 30 into Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the Rambam writes here about the Edim, Ein Edutan Achar Yom Shloshim Mo'elet, which translates simply as, their testimony does not help at all after the end of the 30th day. However, we'll have to revisit this line once we learn the fascinating opinion of the Rambam at the end of this perek. Halacha Bet. Edim shera'u et ha'chodesh, hare elu holchin levei din lehaid, v'afilo haya shabbat, shnemar asher tikru otam b'mo adam, v'chol makom shnemar mo'ed dochet ha'shabbat, l'vichach ein mechalin ela al rosh chodesh nisan v'al rosh chodesh tishrei bilvad, mipnei takanat ha'mo'adot, uvizman shebeit ha'mikdash kayam mechalin al kulan, mipnei korban musaf shebachol rosh chodesh, shehu dochet ha'shabbat. If Edim see the new moon on a Friday evening, they are allowed to make the journey to Beit Din even if traveling will necessitate Chilul Shabbat. There are two reasons for this, one which applies every month, and one which only applies 2 months of every year. First, while the Beit HaMikdash stood, the testimony of the Edim was needed to allow the offering of the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Just as the Korban Musaf itself overrides Shabbat, like any Korban which needs to be offered on a specific day, so too does the travel of the Edim, whose testimony facilitates it. So while the Beit HaMikdash stood, Edim could travel on Shabbat every month. Even after the Korban of the Beit HaMikdash, and we'll see in Perek Hei that Kiddush HaChodesh by Beit Din continued for several centuries after the Korban, the pasuk of Asher Tikru'u Otam Bimmo Adam in Parshat Emor teaches us that Shabbat may be violated in order for the holidays to be established at their proper times. If the moon is seen on the night of day 30, then that is the proper time for Rosh Chodesh, and this affects the timing of the holidays later that month. Based on this second reason, even after the Korban Beit HaMikdash, the Edim could travel to Beit Din on Shabbat at the start of Tishrei and of Nisan, so that Rosh Chodesh could be established on that day, and therefore Yom Kippur and Sukkot, in the case of Tishrei, or Pesach, in the case of Nisan, come out at their proper times 2 weeks later. Note that this isn't necessary for Shavuot, because once the date of Pesach is fixed, the timing of Shavuot is determined based on Sfirat HaOmer, independent of the calendar date. In our fixed calendar, Shavuot is always the sixth day of Sivan, but the date of Shavuot can be different in the era of Kiddush HaChodesh. Recall from the last perek that when the Edim are not known to Beit Din, the people of their city would send two other witnesses to accompany them and vouch for their honesty to Beit Din. Halacha Gimel adds that these people, too, may travel on Shabbat with the main Edim, and even if only one person was found who can vouch for them, he may travel on Shabbat, as it is possible that another such person will be found on the way. Halacha Dalet adds that even if the Edim who saw the moon require a bed or a stretcher due to fatigue or sickness, weapons to ward off bandits, or food for an especially arduous journey, all of these may be taken on Shabbat, so that the Edim can make the trip. even if the moon was seen far and wide, and it can be assumed that other witnesses will come, no one should excuse himself based on this consideration. There is still a mitzvah for every eligible pair of Eidim to travel to Beit Din, even if this involves Chilul Shabbat. Halacha Hei. Barishona hayu mekablin edut ha-chodesh kol yom shloshim. Pam achat nishtahu ha-idim milavo ad bein harbayim, v'nitkalkalu ha-mikdash v'lo yadu ma yasu. Im yasu ola shel bein harbayim, shema yavo ha-idim, v'yefshar she-akrivu musaf hayom achar tamid shel bein harbayim. Amdu beit din v'hitkinu shelo yu mekablin edut ha-chodesh ela ad ha-mincha, kidei shiye shahut bayom lehakriv musafin v'tamid shel bein harbayim v'niskehem. The second supplemental point about the procedure of Kiddush HaChodesh relates to a special takana that was made at one point during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Typically, when the moon was visible on the night of the 30th, Eidim would arrive to testify by the morning or early afternoon. One year, even though the moon was visible, witnesses hadn't arrived by the late afternoon, when the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim was typically offered. The Kohanim in the Mikdash didn't know what to do, as once the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim is offered, no other korbanot could be offered that day, including the korban musaf of Rosh Chodesh. The Rambam doesn't recount what was ultimately done on that day, but as a result of this incident, Chazal made a takana that henceforth Eidim would only be accepted until the time of Mincha, that is, 2.5 halachic hours before the end of the day, what we call Mincha Ketana, which is when the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim was typically offered. In this manner, there would be time to fit in the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim before the end of the day. Halacha Vav. Vim higia mincha v'lo ba'u edim, osin tamid shel bein harbayim. Vim ba'u edim min ha-mincha ulemala, noagin oto hayom kodesh ulemachar kodesh, umakrivin musaf lemachar, lefi shelo hayu mekadshin oto achar mincha. Mishacharav beit ha-mikdash, hitkin Rabban Yocha ben Zakkai uveit dino, shiu mekablin edut ha-chodesh kol hayom kulo. Vafilu ba'u edim yom shloshim besof hayom, samuch lishkiat ha-chama, mekablin edutan, umekadshin yom shloshim bilvad. If no Eidim came by Mincha, the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim would be offered. After that, whether Eidim came after Mincha before the end of the day, or if no Eidim came at all, Rosh Chodesh would be the next day, day 31, and the Korban Musaf would be offered then. After the Churban, when considerations of Korbanot were no longer relevant, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana which undid the first takana, and from that point on, Eidim were accepted during all of day 30, even after the time of Mincha. We note that most Rishonim, including Rashi and Tosfot, have a different understanding of the story recounted in Halacha Hei and of the resulting Takana described there and in Halacha Vav. According to them, the story occurred on Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Chodesh is also a Yom Tov with an Isser Malacha, and the Takana established in its wake related specifically to accepting Eidim at the start of the month of Tishrei. Note the line in the Rambam in Halacha Vav about what would be done if Eidim came after Mincha during the time that the Takana was in effect. Nohagin oto hayom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. This is a quote from the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, and it makes perfect sense for the other Rishonim. Day 30 of Elul was always observed as Yom Tov from the start of the day, in case Eidim showed up and the day became Rosh Hashanah. Once the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim was offered, and Rosh Chodesh, that is, Rosh Hashanah, was pushed to the next day due to the Takana, nonetheless, if Eidim showed up after Mincha, the remainder of the day was observed as if it were Yom Tov. For the Rambam, who applies this Takana to every month of the year, it's difficult to understand what practices are referred to in this line of Nohagin Oto Hayom Kodesh Ulmachar Kodesh. Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Shekla Kodesh suggests that the Rambam refers to the prohibition against eulogy and fasting, Isser Hesped V'Tanit, which applies on every Rosh Chodesh. The second problem, possibly the more serious one, with the Rambam's account in Halacha Hei is his identification of the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim as the impetus for the Takana. The Mishnah says something else entirely, that the Leviim sang the incorrect song accompanying the Korbanot, and Rishonim struggle with the question of why the Mishnah and Gemara mention nothing about the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Tosfot suggests that if Eidim came after the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, the Korban Musaf could still be offered, despite the prohibition against offering Korbanot at that point, based on the principle of Aseh Docheh Lo Taseh. In any event, the Rambam's presentation here seems completely at odds with the Mishnah and the Gemara, and Achronim suggest different explanations of why the Rambam set aside the version appearing there in favor of the one he wrote in this perek. Halacha Zayin. Kishemabrin beitin et hachodesh, mipnei shelo ba'u edim kol yom shloshim, hayu olim lemakom muchan, vosim bo su'udah biyom echad u'shloshim, shehu rosh chodesh, ve'ein olim lesham balayla, ela ba'neshef kodem alot ha'shemesh, ve'ein olim lesu'udah zo pachot mi'asara, ve'ein olim la ela pithat dagan v'kitnit, v'ochlin be'et ha'su'udah, v'zohi su'udat mitzvah sheli bur hachodesh hamura b'chol makom. When day 30 was established as Rosh Chodesh, the ceremony of receiving the witnesses and pronouncing Mikudash served to publicize the event. But when no Edim came and Rosh Chodesh was delayed to day 31, there was no ceremony, and so Beit Din would organize a special meal in order to publicize the Ibur HaChodesh. As the Rambam describes it, this meal was held in a known location at the very end of the night, just before Alot HaShachar, with a minimum of 10 people, and would consist of bread and legumes. Rashi understands that the meal began at the start of the night, once the day had ended without the arrival of any Edim, and would continue until the early morning. Rabbeinu Hananel had an entirely different understanding of this meal, and believed that it was held on the night of day 30, not day 31 as the Rambam and Rashi believe, and was done only when Beit Din knew a day in advance that the month would be Malei, either because the moon would not be visible, or because they added a day to the month in any event due to some tzorech, an external need. We'll hear more about that at the end of this perek. The next part of the perek discusses how Beit Din would spread the word about the date of Rosh Chodesh. Halacha Chet. Barishona kishayu Beit Din mekadshin et hachodesh, hayu masi'in masu'ot berashei ha'arim kidei shiyedu arechokim. מי שקלקלו הקוטים, שהיו מסיעים מסועות כדי להטעות את העם, התקינו שיהיו שלוחים יוצאים ומודיעים לרבים. ושלוחים אלו אינם מחלים לא את יום טוב, ואין צריך לומר שבת, שאין מחלים את השבת לקיימו, אלא לקדשו בלבד. Originally, when Beit Din sanctified the new month on day 30, they would light bonfires upon mountaintops on the following evening in order to spread the word. At a certain point, this had to be stopped, because the Kutim would light bonfires even when no Kiddush HaChodesh occurred, just in order to mislead the people. The Kutim, or Shomronim, were a group of non-Jews who had been forcibly relocated to Eretz Yisrael from Ashur during the time of Sancheriv. Over time, they adopted certain Jewish practices and built their own mikdash on Har Gerizim. The Gemara even says that in mitzvot which they accepted, they were typically more punctilious than Jews. Relations between the Jews and the Kutim soured over time, especially during the period of Bayit Sheni, and these false bonfires were part of the efforts of the Kutim to undermine traditional Jewish practices which they had rejected. To replace the system of bonfires, Beit Din would send messengers, shluchim, to travel to Jewish communities far and wide and inform them of the day of Rosh Chodesh. Unlike the Edim who saw the new moon, these shluchim were not permitted to violate Shabbat or Yom Tov as they traveled on their mission. Halacha Tet. Al shisha chodashim hayu shluchim yotzim, al nisan mipnei ha-pesach, ve'al av mipnei ha-tanit, ve'al elul mipnei rosh ha-shanah, kedei shiyishvu mitzapin biyom shloshim le'elul, im noda lehem shekitchu beitin yom shloshim, nohagin oto ha-yom kodesh bilvad, ve'im lo noda lehen, nohagin yom shloshim kodesh, ve'yom echad u'shloshim kodesh, al shiavo lehem shluchei tishrei, ve'al tishrei mipnei takanat ha-moadot, ve'al kislev mipnei chanukah, ועל אדר מפני הפורים, ובזמן שבית המקדש קיים, יוצאים על יער מפני פסח קטן. The shluchim would not be sent out every month. They would only travel at the beginning of a month containing a holiday or some other special day, so that people could know when exactly to observe that day. There were six such months. The first two were Nisan, because of Pesach, and Av, because of the fast. The third was Elul. There is no holiday in Elul. But only by knowing the date of Rosh Chodesh Elul could people know which 2 days could possibly be Rosh Hashanah, the 30th and 31st days from the start of Elul. Both days would be observed as Yom Tov by those too far away to know when exactly Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was declared. The last 3 months in which the Shluchim traveled were Tishrei, because of Yom Kippur and Sukkot, Kislev due to Hanukkah, and Adar due to Purim. During the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the Shluchim traveled on Iyar as well, for the benefit of those who had to offer the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. Note an interesting point. The Shluchim traveled on Av, but not on Tevet or Tammuz, despite the fact that those also have fast days. The Rambam explains in his Perush HaMishnayot that this list of months refers to the time in the Beit HaMikdash, when Asara B'Tevet and Shivasar B'Tammuz were kept as festive days rather than fasts. But even during the time of the Mikdash, he claims, Tisha B'Av was observed as a fast day, due to the multitude of tragedies which occurred on that day, and therefore the Shluchim were sent out on Rosh Chodesh Av. This is a novel opinion which is not accepted by other Rishonim, who believe that Tisha B'Av too was not observed as a fast during the time of Bayit Sheni. We summarize the remaining halachot throughout the travels of the Shluchim. There was an important difference between Nisan and Tishrei on the one hand, and the other 4 months in which they traveled on the other hand. Because knowing the dates of Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei are important for the observance of Torah holidays, the Shluchim could not leave until they knew with certainty that the day was indeed Rosh Chodesh, that is, after Beit Din announced Mikudash. This could happen before sundown of day 29, as we saw in the last parak, but often had to wait until day 30, when Edom arrived and Beit Din accepted their testimony. But in the case of the other 4 months, if the moon is visible on the night of the 30th, then the Shluchim can start out immediately at that point, on the assumption that Beit Din will declare day 30 to be Rosh Chodesh once Edim arrive and are questioned. There were faraway places that the Shluchim didn't get to before Sukkot and Pesach, and Jews in those places had to keep 2 days of Yom Tov, due to the suffix of which day was Rosh Chodesh, of Tishrei or Nisan. This is the origin of the practice of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, and we'll learn more details about it in Perek Hei. The Shluchim of Nisan could travel further before Pesach than the Shluchim of Tishrei could travel before Sukkot, because in Tishrei the Shluchim lost 2 additional days of travel time due to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So there were places which in principle should have kept only 1 day of Yom Tov on Pesach and 2 days of Yom Tov on Sukkot. But to avoid this odd situation in which certain Yamim Tovim are observed in a different manner than others, Chazal established a takana that in any place in which the Shluchim of Tishrei didn't arrive before Sukkot, all days of Yom Tov must be kept as 2 days. This is true even of Shavuot, even though no one was ever in doubt as to the correct day of Shavuot, because it is exactly 50 days after the first day of Pesach, as we explained earlier. We'll see in Parakeh exactly how far the Shluchim of Tishrei would get before Sukkot. We have used the term Shluchim in the plural, but in fact it could be even one person, as anyone is believed to report when Beit Din did Kiddush HaChodesh. The reason we do not require 2 Edim for this is that the date of Kiddush HaChodesh is what the Gemara calls a Milta Da'avidi Ligluye, something which will eventually become widely known, and therefore it may be assumed that anyone who reports on it is not lying. We continue with Halacha Tetvav. Beit Din shiyashvu kol yom shloshim, v'lo ba'u edim, v'ishkimu ba'neshef, v'ibru et ha'chodesh kamo shebiyarnu b'perek zeh. V'achar 4 or 5 yamim, ba'u edim rechokim, v'he'idu shera'u et ha'chodesh bizmano, shu leil shloshim, v'afilu ba'u b'sof ha'chodesh, ma'emin alehem, iyum gadol, u'matrifin otam, b'she'elot, u'matrichin alehem b'vdikot, u'medaktikin b'edutan, u'mishtadlin Beit Din shelo yikadshu chodesh zeh, ho'il v'yatsa shmo me'ubar. V'im amdu ha'edim b'edutan, v'limitzet mechuvenet, v'arei ha'edim anashim yidu'im unvonim, v'nechkera ha'edut karaui, mekadshin oto, v'chozrin u'monin l'oto ha'chodesh miyom shloshim, ho'il v'nira ha'ireach b'leilo. Suppose that no Edim come on day 30, and so Beit Din let the month become Male, and they have the Sudat Ibur Chodesh that we learned about in Halacha Zayin. Several days later, or even in an extreme case, at the end of the month, Edim show up and report that they saw the moon on the night of the 30th. The opinion of most Rishonim in this case is that the Edim are simply turned away. It's too late. The dates in the current month have already been set from the moment day 30 ended without any testimony of seeing the new moon. But the Rambam has a unique opinion in this case. He writes here that Beit Din gives the Edim a hard time by intimidating them and questioning them in great detail, trying their best to avoid accepting their testimony. But if the Edim withstand this pressure and intimidation, and their report is found to be reliable, and they themselves are known to be wise and trustworthy, then Beit Din accepts their testimony, and they sanctify the month retroactively, with the result that the date moves forward by 1 day. So for example, if this happens on the 8th day of the month, that is the 8th day from day 31 when the month began, then once the testimony is accepted, that very day becomes the 9th day of the month. We note several problematic psukim of the Rambam from earlier in this perek and from the last perek, in light of this possibility of retroactive Kiddush HaChodesh. The first is from Halacha Aleph of this perek, where the Rambam wrote that if the journey to Beit Din would take the Eidim more than a day, then they shouldn't go, as this wouldn't be mo'elet, it wouldn't help, because the Beit Din would already make the month Malay by the time they arrive. How is this true, if it is always possible to do Kiddush HaChodesh retroactively and change the date? The Lechem Mishnah on that halacha addresses this question, and the answer is that we must understand the Rambam's words differently. Ein edutan mo'elet doesn't mean that the testimony would be entirely ineffective. Rather, it means that there is no positive benefit for the Eidim to make the journey, because, as the Rambam made very clear here in Halachot Ted Vav and Ted Zayin, we do not want to do Kiddush HaChodesh retroactively. If Eidim come and they withstand the intimidation and aggressive questioning, then Beit Din will begrudgingly accept their testimony, but this is not at all a desirable outcome. Because the date has already been fixed by making the previous month Malay, and as we saw at the end of the last perek, Beit Din's determination of Rosh Chodesh is binding even if it is mistaken, it would be far preferable to leave things as they are than to retroactively change the date. Another problematic psak of the Rambam is from the end of the last perek, where he wrote that if Beit Din doesn't manage to say Mikudash before nightfall, even if they have already accepted the testimony of Eidim, then they lose the opportunity for Kiddush HaChodesh, and the month is automatically Mu'ubar. Why should this be true? The Eidim are here in front of us, and their testimony has been accepted, so why can't Beit Din do Kiddush HaChodesh retroactively shortly after nightfall? In this case, the damage isn't even significant, because word has not yet spread that the month which ended was Malay. Rav Kanievsky, in his Shekla Kodesh, suggests that here too, the Rambam may mean that after nightfall of the 31st, there is no opportunity for Kiddush HaChodesh in the normal and desirable manner, but retroactive Kiddush HaChodesh may indeed be possible, though undesirable. Even though the damage isn't substantial, it is always preferable to leave the formal determination of Beit Din in place, rather than to change it retroactively. A third difficulty with the concept of retroactive Kiddush HaChodesh relates to the permission granted to Eidim, which we saw in Halacha Bet, to violate Shabbat in order to travel to Beit Din after seeing the new moon. Why the urgency that the Eidim arrive so quickly, to the point of overriding the Isser Melacha of Shabbat, if their testimony is effective even later? In addition to what we saw in the Lechem Mishnah, the Shekla Kodesh, about the undesirability of retroactive Kiddush HaChodesh, the Emek Bracha adds a point to answer this question. What overrides Shabbat in general is the mitzvah to do Kiddush HaChodesh, and this mitzvah is only fulfilled when Kiddush HaChodesh occurs on or before day 30. Hence, Eidim can be Mechalel Shabbat in order to fulfill the mitzvah, just as Chilul Shabbat is permitted for other mitzvot, which need to be done at a fixed time, like Korban Pesach and Brit Milah. It is true that Kiddush HaChodesh can be done later, and to take effect retroactively, but there is no mitzvah in this at all. This point about when the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is fulfilled is relevant for Halacha Yud Zayin 2, where we continue now. V'imitzruchu Beit Din lahaniach chodesh zeh meubar kishaya kodem shavo el haidim manichin v'zehu shamru ma'abrin et hachodesh litzorech v'yesh min hachachamim hagdolim mishocholek bedavar zeh v'omer le'olam ein ma'abrin et hachodesh litzorech v'ho'ilu v'hau edim mekadshin v'ein ma'amin aleihen. The Gemara records a debate whether or not it is possible to be ma'aber et hachodesh litzorech, to make a month Malay in a case of need. What does this mean? For most Rishonim, it means that even if Eidim come on day 30 and testify that they saw the new moon, and their testimony stands up to scrutiny, Beit Din can still decide not to sanctify the month and to let it become Malay. Why would they do this? If there is some pressing need to have the month be Malay. For example, in the event that Yom Kippur would come out on a Friday or a Sunday if the month were Chaser. Having 2 days in a row in which no malacha is permitted at all, Shabbat and Yom Kippur, is considered especially burdensome. Hence, even if Eidim testified to having seen the new moon, the opinion of Ma'abrin et HaChodesh Letzorech maintains that Beit Din can simply abstain from Kiddush HaChodesh and let the month become Malay. But the Rambam does not understand the Gemara this way. As the Emek Racha explains, because there is a mitzvah to perform Kiddush HaChodesh at the correct time, and even Shabbat is set aside in order to fulfill this mitzvah, we cannot just give up on the mitzvah due to some practical consideration like the difficulty of having Yom Kippur adjacent to Shabbat. Rather, the Rambam understands the machloket of Ma'abrin et HaChodesh Letzorech to mean something else entirely. In this situation of Edim arriving later in the month, where ordinarily we would accept their testimony begrudgingly after appropriate intimidation and questioning, Beit Din can decide, based on some pressing need, perhaps like the earlier example of keeping Yom Kippur at least one day removed from Shabbat, not to accept the testimony at all, and leave the month and the calendar date as is. For the Rambam, as explained by the Emek Bracha, the only situation in which we may allow some practical consideration, a tzorech, to determine whether a month will be chaser or malei, is when this determination is done after the fact, once there is no longer a mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. But as long as there is a mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh on day 30, Beit Din has no right to take such factors into account, and must be motivated solely by the desire to fulfill the mitzvah properly. In Halacha Yudchet, the Rambam suggests, with the prefix Yera'eli, as usual implying that he has no definitive source for this opinion in the Talmud, but nonetheless believes it to be true, that in the event that Edim arrive in the first half of Tishrei or of Nisan, after Rosh Chodesh, but before the holiday in the middle of the month, then for the sake of observing the holidays in their proper times, these Edim are accepted without any intimidation or burdensome questioning. Even though there is no mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh here, because the Edim arrive after day 30 of the previous month, the advantage of having Sukkot or Pesach occur at the correct time, based on the sighting of the moon, is sufficient reason to make the retroactive Kiddush HaChodesh desirable and lechatchila. Halacha Yutet. Aval ma'aymin al edim shenit kalkala edutan, v'arei hadavar notesh lo titkayim ha'edut v'itaber ha'chodesh, ma'aymin alehen kedei shetitkayim ha'edut. ויתקדש בזמנו. וכן אם באו עדים להזים את העדים שראוהו בזמנו קודם שיקדשו בית דין, הרי אלו מאמין על המזימין עד שלא תתקיים ההזמה ויתקדש החודש בזמנו. The Rambam closes the perek with two cases in which we intimidate Edim on day 30. Recall from the last perek that Beit Din only sits and receives Edim on day 30 when they know that the moon was indeed visible the previous evening. So when Edim come and testify, Beit Din are not entirely neutral. They would like the testimony to be accepted, as this would achieve the desired and correct goal of beginning the new month on that day. Hence, if some problem arises in the testimony, an inconsistency between the two Edim, or some sighting which isn't astronomically possible, then Beit Din intimidate the Edim in an effort to jog their memories, in the hope that this will resolve the problem and allow the testimony to be accepted. Also, if a second pair of Edim come, not to testify about the new moon, but to invalidate the first Edim by making them Edei Sheker through the process of Hazama, that is, they tell the first Edim, you couldn't have seen the moon when and where you say you did, because at that time you were with us somewhere else, then Beit Din intimidate the second pair in an effort to thwart the Hazama, so that the testimony of the first pair about the new moon can remain valid. It's true that we saw in the last perek that even if the Edim who saw the new moon are subsequently found to be Edim Zomamin, the month remains Mikudash. But this refers only to a case where the Hazama takes place after the Kiddush HaChodesh. If the Hazama takes place before Kiddush HaChodesh, despite the best efforts of the Beit Din to thwart it, then the testimony of the first Edim about the new moon is null and void, and the month cannot be declared Mikudash based on that testimony.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.